All right, we're going to be out of the book of Ruth this morning, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. And Ruth, chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the kinsman redeemer's kindness. The kinsman redeemer's kindness. And when we get into chapter 2, there's already a lot of stuff that's already gone on in chapter 1. Primarily, when you look at Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech and their boys, and just realize all that went on. Because first of all, Naomi, the reason that we're going to talk about Ruth is because Naomi is down in Moab. That's not where she was originally from. Her husband, at the time, Elimelech, took them, because there was a famine going on, and took them down to Moab. And while they were down in Moab, things were nice at the time. But then problems hit. It's just like for you and I, when we're serving the Lord and we're right where the Lord is going on, even if there's a famine around us, He will provide and He is faithful. But when we leave the will of God and go our own way and go to Moab, go to Egypt, go to the world, oh, it might appear to be glittery and shiny and glamorous and all the provisions, but because we're outside of God's will and we're not where God wanted us to be, there's going to be problems. So while they were down in Moab, Elimelech died. So now Ruth just has her two sons. And her two sons married Moabite women. So now she still has her two sons to care for her. And then both of her sons died. So now her husband and both of her sons have now passed away. And all she has are two daughter-in-laws that are from Moabite, and she is not. So when you really look at it and you evaluate, first of all, what does Elimelech mean? That was her husband. Elimelech means God is king. That's what his name meant. God is king. But yet, he chose to take his family away from where the king, our God, had put him and his family. So he made a choice to take his family to Moab, to the world, away from where God had placed them. So Elimelech means God is king, but he wasn't following God, his king. Naomi means my delight, means pleasant. And before chapter 1 finishes, there's a spot in there that says, Naomi said to call me Mara. And Mara means bitterness. Because at this point, Naomi realizes that what she had done and where she was at was not where God had taken her. And now her life, she has lost her husband, she has lost her sons, now she really has nothing. So now she's like, I'm not pleasant anymore. I'm bitter. The Lord has dealt with me. Call me Mara. And then we realize that the key person that's in this is Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite girl. Ruth married one of her sons. One of Naomi's sons. And Ruth, through all that went on, was faithful to stay with Naomi and follow Naomi back to her homeland, back to where she was supposed to be. That meant Naomi had to give up everything. She had to give up everything that she knew from her land. She had to give up everything that dealt with her family. She had to give up everything. And she was faithful to follow Naomi back to where they needed to go. And then we talk about Boaz. And Boaz, his name means strength. And as we get into chapter 2, we'll realize the strength that's involved with Boaz. And we're not just talking physical strength. There's spiritual strength. There's physical strength. There's emotional strength. There's all types of different strength that Boaz exhibits through chapter 2. So in chapter 2, we'll start reading in verses 1 through 3. And we'll go through the whole chapter and we'll read the verses as we go along. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And when she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light. Excuse me. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. In the book of Ruth, Naomi has lost everything. They left Moab. She now has, Ruth is now following Naomi back to her native land. And in a strange land with dimming present and a future ahead, they return to Israel. Ruth, her daughter-in-law, remains faithful and stays with her to help provide and care for her. When we are wandering away from God in strange lands, God is faithful and always near us and ready to redeem and restore us if we just turn back to Him. We need to realize that every person needs to recognize that Christ is their personal Redeemer. And in verses 1 through 3, we have Ruth and the field. Ruth and the field. It is harvest time in the field of Boaz. And in verse number 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." First of all, you see that Ruth is asking for supplication. She's gaining permission. She has no husband. She's with Naomi, who has no husband. But she is showing the respect to Naomi to say, "Let me go. Can I go and glean for us?" She's not going for herself. She's going because she's wanting to provide for Naomi, because Naomi has nobody to provide for her. So she asks to gain permission to go glean. And then we see the sovereignty of God in verses 1 and in verses 3, because it deals with God's guidance. At the end of verse number 1, it talks about in the family of Elimelech, his name was Boaz. And this is a kinsman of Naomi's, a kinsman of Elimelech. And right there, God has already provided and given the guidance of exactly what needs to go on in Naomi's life. And Ruth doesn't really fully understand all of this yet, and I'm sure that Naomi probably doesn't, but God's Word says that He has already provided guidance, because God is sovereign. He knows exactly what we need and when we need. Even when we go astray, He's already working behind the scenes to set things up so that as soon as we turn back to Him, He's sovereign enough that His provisions are sufficient. And He knows exactly what we need, when we need, to make things right that we wronged, so that He gets the honor and the glory because we're trusting and we're walking with Him. And in verse number 3, it's the provisions that are provided. The provisions are in Boaz's field, nobody else's field. God directs and orchestrates everything through Ruth and Naomi's situation so that Ruth will go glean out of Boaz's field. So God is sovereign, and He's sovereign in our lives, and He will always provide what we need if we just seek Him and follow Him. So first of all, we had Ruth in the field, and we looked at the gaining of permission and the sovereignty of God's guidance. Then we look at Ruth and favor. Ruth and favor. Verses 4 through 16, Boaz shows favor towards Ruth. So in verses 4 through 7, it's the investigates. Boaz asks questions about Ruth. So Boaz investigates as to who this damsel is that's in his fields. Verse number 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." So Boaz investigates. Boaz has a curiosity because Boaz knows who his maidens are. Boaz knows who his servants are, his reapers. And then all of a sudden, there's a strange person that's in there. So Boaz is investigating as to what is this? Because there's something that he's seeing about her. She's not just lazily. She is working. And she is putting forth effort. Because she is not doing this for herself. She's doing this for Naomi. to provide for Naomi. And Boaz is seeing her diligence. And we need to realize that when it talks about, when it talks about reaping and then going afterwards to glean, in the Old Testament, it was kind of a Levitical law. If you look over in Deuteronomy 24:19, it says, "When thou cuttest down the harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again and fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands." And over in Leviticus 19:9-10, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." So see, Boaz obviously has a lot of wealth. He has a lot of land. He has a lot of crops. And Boaz understands this concept of reaping. And he even instructs, as we will see later on, his reapers of what they want, what he wants them to do dealing with Ruth. So as Ruth goes through, she's not the only one. There are many others that go through and glean from the fields. Now, what do you think would happen today if you went and gleaned from a field today? You'd probably get shot at. So this gleaning aspect that was then is not now. So don't go and try it now and just, you know, claim it under the Old Testament laws. Because remember, the law's been fulfilled. So anyways, we see that the gleaning is a natural process and a lawful process. So after Boaz investigates as to who this damsel is, he next gives instructions. Boaz gives guidance. He gives guidance to Ruth, and he also gives guidance to his reapers. So in verses 8 through 14, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." So right here, Boaz is already telling Ruth that she doesn't need to go glean in any other fields. So Boaz gives the instructions and tells her, don't glean in any other fields. Stay here. You know, when we are within God's will, God tells us to stay here. Because He knows exactly what we want or what we need. He knows exactly what we need to be taught. And sometimes the circumstances that we want to flee from, where we want to go to Moabite, are exactly what we need to teach us to rely and trust upon God's provisions and God's ways. And many times, when circumstances come about, we just want to get plucked out of them. We want to leave the circumstances. We don't want to deal with it and learn from it, because sometimes it's painful. Sometimes there's a lot of mental anguish that's in there. Sometimes we just get so beat down that we don't feel like we can deal with it. But if it's in God's will, we just need to trust in Him, because He will not give us too much. So in this aspect right here, Boaz tells Ruth to stay right where she is, to glean only in his fields. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." So in verse number 9, with these further instructions that Boaz is given Ruth, Boaz lets her know, listen, I've already talked to my men, and they're not going to lay a hand on you. They're not going to mistreat you. They're not going to take advantage of you. So with these instructions that's been given, it almost makes you assume that on some other fields and some other people, that there has been some advantage taken against strangers or against poor or weak that's come into fields to take stuff. But Boaz gives the assurance that nothing like this is going to happen. He gives that comfort so that she knows that she is perfectly safe gleaning right where she is. And when we follow God's words and we trust in Him, we also have that assurance of safety, that He will care for us and provide for us as long as we are seeking Him. And in verse number 10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" So once again, she's humbled. She doesn't know why Boaz is doing this. But she shows reverence and respect because it's his field and everything that's about her is his. And she shows reverence and she bows down and asks him why he's doing this. Well, we see there's another place in Scripture where Abigail did the same thing to David. In reverence, in respect, Abigail bowed down to David. And this is what we need to do as children of God, and to reverence God, is we need to remember, we need to not always speak to God standing up. There are times that we need to reverence God and we need to bow the knee. And we need to put ourselves in our proper place when we're in the presence of our Lord. And Boaz answered, verse number 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Boaz just pretty much tells her, listen, I've done some investigation of the background, and I see what you are doing. Ruth, you have left your native land. You have left your parents, your family, all to come up here to help take care of Naomi. And you're working diligently, and I see that. And this is just more comfort that Boaz has given to Ruth so that she knows that what she is doing is correct. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find a favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsels in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. So Boaz not only gives instructions, he gives consolation. He gives that comfort. He assures the peace of what she is doing, that she's going to be taken care of. She's going to be provided for. And through that, even Naomi will be provided for. Because Ruth is doing everything for Naomi. Boaz sees this, so now Boaz is extending favor out to Ruth. Just like our Lord, when our Lord sees us do works, spiritual works, not fleshly works, but spiritual works, when we reach out to others, and when we present things to others to help care for them, whatever need it may be, physical, spiritual, emotional, our Lord sees that. And when we minister to others, our Lord, we are found in favor in our Lord's sight. And He ministers to us because He provides and cares for us. Because He is our good shepherd, and He wants what is best for us, for His will and His benefit. So there's a lot of parallels dealing with Boaz, how Boaz treats and deals with Ruth, just like our Savior treats and deals with us. In verses 15 through 16, we also see Boaz's intervention. Boaz gives directions to his servants. In verse 15 and 16, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So right here, Boaz has already given instructions to Ruth, and already told her, you know, what's expected, what she can do, he'll take care of her, what she's doing is a good and honorable thing. And now he's talking to his servants, and he tells them, listen, if she picks something off of the stock, don't rebuke her. You know, while you're picking everything and you're reaping everything, drop big handfuls and just leave them and keep on going. And when she picks those up, don't say anything to her. So he is providing extra portions for her to get to take care of, which is just what God does for us when we are faithfully serving Him. He will bless us in many different ways, and a lot of times ways that we would never even think of. But God will provide when we are faithful to serve Him. So we've looked at Ruth in the field. We've looked at Ruth and favor. Now we're going to look at Ruth and family. God provides for Ruth and Naomi. In verses 17 through 23, we see that Ruth goes back and talks to Naomi and kind of explains everything to her. So, upon her return, verses 17 and 18, Ruth's return, verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So Ruth goes back to Naomi, and she shows her exactly everything that she has. And now, you know, there, you could put a lot of dialogue in here, because I'm sure Ruth probably looked at that and just went, look at how much you have. I've never been able to glean that much. You know, so there's just some stuff in there to just show that when you are in the center of God's will, when you are actively pursuing and following Him, He provides, and He provides abundantly. Abundantly above anything that we could plan of, anything that we could orchestrate, anything that we could think of. Because I know I have a big issue that I like planning things out. And a lot of times I'll plan things out, and I'll plan it out to as far to the extent as I can. But the thing is, I don't run that plan across God's Word. So my plan, when I put it into play, oh, it'll work, but I will just get minimal results. But it's amazing to see that when I start following that plan and I realize that there's hiccups and there's problems because I didn't go to God first, and when I turn to God and I give it to God, it's amazing that the minuscule little pieces that I was gleaning, how all of a sudden they are enormous, beyond my comprehension, beyond how I thought that I could get them, or that I wasn't even looking for them. But God has it planned out all the way. If we just faithfully serve Him, He will provide abundantly exactly what we need. So Ruth returns, and now Ruth reports. Ruth reports, and she tells Naomi that Boaz has shown her kindness. In verses 19 through 21. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And in verse number 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So right there, Naomi realizes exactly who Boaz is and knows and lets Ruth know that, listen, Boaz is a kinsman. He's a near kinsman. He is part of our family. There's relationship in there. And you went to his field and he showed great kindness to you. And I'm sure there was a lot of conversation at the dinner table that night over coffee and over some little grain cakes just about the whole aspect of Boaz and what Boaz had, the stature that Boaz was within the community, the wealth that he had, but that he didn't boast upon it. And he didn't throw it around at people's feet. He was just a very humble, wealthy man that just took care of the business that God gave him to do. And right here, Naomi is revealing this to Ruth, so Ruth really understands who Boaz is, in the importance of the favor that is being shown to Ruth, that there might be something there. Verse number 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. I'm sure at that point, when Ruth told that to Naomi, I'm sure Naomi probably had a little special feeling going on. And Ruth really had no idea, because she just went out to go do an honest day's worth of gleaning. But Naomi knew what was going on. Naomi had an idea, because this is Naomi's home. She knows who the people are. She knows the provisions. She knows that that's where she was supposed to stay instead of going to Moab. Now, even though she went to Moab, we can see that even there were cursings that went on, there were problems that happened, there were circumstances, there was loss of loved ones, there was mental anguish, there was bitterness. but because she returned to her homeland and came back to where God wanted her and put her, Ruth is now seeing God's merciful hand working in her life. Naomi is now seeing God's merciful hand working in her life and seeing how God is providing above and beyond, even when she just wants to be called Mara because of the bitterness, because God has dealt with her. God is dealing with her again, and she's realizing that. And with all this that Ruth is telling her that's gone on with the activities of going and the gleaning, Ruth is putting the puzzle together and just seeing how true and real that God is in her life. That if she just trusts in God, God will provide. And you and I need to just trust in God no matter what the circumstances are. And we will see God provide in ways we could never, ever imagine and think of. And I'm sure there are many of you in here right now that can just start writing down on a piece of paper one thing after another of how God has already provided and what God has already done in your life when you weren't even expecting it and you weren't seeing it, but you just wanted to faithfully serve Him. And with that, you gain favor in His eye. So Ruth, after she returns, she reports about Boaz showing her kindness, and then we look at the rejoicing. Boaz is the next kinsman redeemer in verses 22 and 23. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth and the family. After this report, there is plenty to rejoice in because of all that Ruth has now found out and Naomi has told her, because this is her land and this is part of her family. And when you go on for the rest of the book of Ruth, and you will see what Boaz does and how Boaz goes about becoming Ruth's husband. Because Boaz is a near kinsman redeemer. Now, there was a nearer one, and Boaz didn't go to confront that person and try to just take it over and just say, "Listen, this is what's happening, that's that." Boaz did the gentlemanly thing. He did the godly thing. He went to the nearer kinsman redeemer, and he offered him first and explained it and said, "Here's what's going on. You have the first rights and the first dibs." Because that's how it worked then. Whoever was the closest in relationship to the immediate family had first dibs on becoming the kinsman redeemer, to redeem the land, to redeem the family, to redeem the provisions that had been lost because of a death or any other situation that went on. And that gentleman turned it down. Well, Boaz ended up redeeming Naomi, her family, ended up marrying Ruth. And it was all because of God's provisions, God's sovereign intervention in lives, that when Elimelech took his family to Moab and left the will of God, God could have at that point just lifted his hands up and said, "I'm done." But you and I can look in the mirror and look at many times where we've turned our back on God at one point or another, and God never gave up on us. Because God is faithful and just. God is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And because of that, even when we do turn our back on God, when we finally come to the realization that we're off in a foreign land and we turn back to Him, He's standing there with His arms wide open. And not only is He ready to receive you, but He already still has the rest of your plan and your path. And it's already there. And He just wants to brush you off and put you back on it so that you bring honor and glory to Him. So we have looked at Ruth in the field, Ruth in favor, and Ruth in the family. And through this, we see the parallels between Boaz redeeming, being the near kinsman redeemer, and redeeming Naomi, and then ultimately Mary and Ruth. We also see that God is our redeemer. And we need to realize the reason He can redeem us is because of the finished work at Calvary. The finished plan of salvation was the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to walk faithfully and seek Him because He has blessings upon blessings upon blessings to give you and I when we are faithful to follow Him and trust in His ways, in His provisions, and not go our own individual ways. Christ provided a kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi in Boaz. When there appears to be no hope in the future, and you need to realize that God is still on the scene. He is our Creator and Sustainer. He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Even when we are blinded by our circumstances or situations that are going on. There are many times that we look this way at what's going on instead of this way at what's going on. His provisions are always available if we just seek and serve Him. You have favor in His eyes. He is our Heavenly Father. When you turn to Christ, He will redeem you from the bondage of sin and you will be a new creation. As a believer, when you turn back to Him, you will have restored fellowship with Him. You can only walk in true joy, rejoicing in the arms of Christ, your kinsman redeemer. He showed kindness by dying on the cross for our sins. So, as we finish the lesson up this morning, we need to realize our personal standing and our positional standing with Christ as a believer. And as a believer standing with Christ, He is our kinsman redeemer. And He will provide exactly what is needed, when it's needed, and how much is needed. Because it's His timing, it's His purpose, and it's His plan. And when we just trust in Him through all the circumstances and situations that go on in our life, He will provide exactly what we need when we need it. The only way that we can feel comfort and joy and peace through tribulation is being right in the center of God's will and not flee to the world, not flee to the flesh, but to look up to heaven, to our Heavenly Father, and cling to the cross.